We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye, not hitting with a recap of the Nets loss to the Pacers, but instead jumping into some Nets topics, questions that they're looking at this summer, takeaways that we can have at this point in time. But as always, you can find the Buzz on all streaming platforms. Also, subscribe and review. But again, this game against the Pacers was unwatchable, terrible. The guys didn't look very into it. They were pretty much blown out from the first quarter on and never really had a chance to make this game competitive. And instead, we'll talk about different things. And obviously, that's connected to what we're moving into. But April 1st, the Nets have essentially officially been eliminated from the playoffs, eliminated from the play-in. The season is could now technically be declared a failure, you know, because that was the goal of Sean Marks and the team, the front office and ownership, was to have a competitive team this season, you know, build off of last year, make the plan, make the playoffs, you know, maybe guys develop further, and all of a sudden you're in a better position than you were in last summer, long-term, short-term. Instead, not much has really changed for this Nets team. If anything, you've got a clear picture on different players in this roster, and it didn't necessarily go in the positive direction. And specifically, we're looking at Mikal Bridges, you know, the end of 22-23 post-trade deadline, really good, you know, probably close to a top 30 NBA player, looked like an all-star, looked like a guy who could probably be a number two on a championship team. We get to this season, we see him for essentially the entire year, and he's just not able to maintain that level of play and be that type of guy with the constant attention and also, I think, the constant workload offensively and defensively he was facing. I just don't think he was conditioned for that, and obviously he's a guy who's played a ton of games, played in the Olympics, all that, obviously, you know, take that in too, but still, you know, I think it's a big enough sample size, enough rest, enough different situations where we kind of know, you know, Mikal Bridges is a number three. You know, he's a number three in a championship team. Does that mean the Nets should have moved him last year's trade deadline or in the summer? Nope, that's a real discussion, and I'm sure Jack and I will probably talk at that at some point in coming episodes. And then also it'll be a question of should they have moved him at this last trade deadline where we heard the rumor that the Nets, you know, had some of their picks offered back, and Jalen Green, who obviously just went on a tear. It's going to be probably another decision they have this summer. You know, is Mikal Bridges good enough that we can turn down a package that's overpaying for him? Is that something that we are willing to do, and do we have enough confidence that we are going to land a star and enough good players in the next couple seasons that that's going to look like the right move, or is it going to look bad? You know, and obviously in the short term right now, it's looked bad because there's also a rumor that Alperen Şengün was offered last summer too. And that guy could obviously be a true kind of offensive hub for this team, you know, has probably a better chance of being a two option on a championship team offensively than Mikal does, and would provide someone who can kind of create mismatches and get the offense initiated. And obviously it would have come with first round picks. So again, Jalen Green, Şengün, those two guys are going to be some people that Nets fans keep an eye on, because there's a lot of evidence that points to them being available for Mikal Bridges, and they're going to constantly compare those guys. It's going to be frustrating, but that's just how it is. And again, that decision will be back on the table probably in the next month and a half. So just really, really big choices for the Nets and really their overall view. And I think a lot of that's going to be dictated on two things, and that's, you know, who's the GM and who's the next coach. Because I think, you know, no disrespect to Kevin Ali, the team has not been good. They haven't played well. They haven't performed well. The season was already kind of over when he took on the team, but he's gone. They're going to bring in a new face, and that face is going to be connected to the GM. And obviously, if it's Sean Marks, we have a good idea of what he's going to do. He's probably going to not run it back, but he's going to maintain some of the core pieces and look to add stars to this team and really go star hunting in the next year or two. If it's a new GM, now we are looking kind of all over the place. This new GM could come in and go full rebuild. They could go semi-rebuild. They could go in a situation where maybe they trade Mikal Bridges. They get another young, starish type of player, and they build around him and Cam Thomas moving forward, and then, you know, explore those draft picks and potential trades and maybe even 2025, but maybe 26, 27, those type of things. So that's going to be probably the biggest decision of the offseason. It's also going to dictate what happens with the team and, you know, with their core players and who's here to stay, who's here to go. And if a new GM comes in, everyone could kind of be on their way out, because that just is what happens with new GMs. Obviously, we've had a lot of reports. We've seen kind of just the body language. Sean Marks and Joe Tsai seem to be really connected. It seems likely Marks is going to stay. But at the end of the day, the Nets have been getting embarrassed left and right. Tsai has to have a level of frustration, because this is a team that Marks believe could compete for a play-in spot, could compete for a playoff spot, and here we are April 1st and they're officially knocked out. And, you know, it's kind of been over the last 2 weeks per se. You know, when they had that stretch actually where they just lost to a ton of bad teams, it was something like Memphis, Detroit, and Portland or along those lines, and that was really it for this team. And I think the roster construction has been in question since early in the season. Obviously, there's been some minor injuries, and Ben Simmons has been hurt, but he's been hurt the last 2 years, so that's not really something new. Cam Johnson pretty banged up, but also banged up most of his career too. So there wasn't any huge surprises. You know, maybe the biggest surprise was how bad Spencer Dinwiddie was majority of the year, but some of that was correlated to coaching and his relationship with the organization from a contract perspective. So all connected kind of to Sean Marks and decisions he's made. And I think so many things point to him making a lot of bad decisions going to this year, and someone usually has to pay. And he just hasn't had the results in terms of his previous seasons, in terms of the outcomes, for him to have that level of protection. You know, we're not talking about a guy who's been to multiple Eastern Conference championships, NBA finals, you know, has not produced a ton of great teams. You know, he's really produced one really, really good team that had really bad luck. The following season was not good enough. The team was not on the floor enough, and there was too many holes. You know, we're talking about the Kyrie KD team that lost to Boston. And then the following year, the team wasn't able to stay together. And obviously, it's great when you can acquire great players, but also maintaining them, keeping them in-house is a huge factor in the current NBA landscape. He hasn't been able to do that, and that falls on him to an extent. Obviously, there were some outside circumstances with COVID and, you know, the government in New York City, but overall, you know, this is a result-based business, and the results have not been good enough for Sean Marks to stay. Be really interesting to see how Tsai evaluates the rest of the season and just even the next, you know, few games, and how bad is this team and how embarrassing are they, because that's what they've really been the last two nights. You know, some guys have showed a competitive spirit, but it's just not good enough, and the synergy and the frustration and the bad body language is at an all-time high for the season so far. So
we're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? you need Indeed.
Marks, in my opinion, takes a large chunk of that blame, especially for this year and the way that things have kind of played out with the holes on this roster and just the dependency on specific players and not having the proper backup plans and also not leaning into the young guys enough this year. And, you know, you'll say, oh, that's on the coach. Well, hey, the front office can come in and give the coach things they need to do, almost orders to an extent, like, hey, he needs to see, you know, around X amount of minutes. And if the coach doesn't do that, there's going to be issues. He's probably not going to have a job. It's going to lead to bad things from him in terms of just overall relationships in the league. So the fact is that they didn't end last year running with the young guys and start this year running heavy with the young guys and giving guys opportunities has been really frustrating. We're starting to see that at this point in the season, but it's like, hey, 10 more games for Noah Clowney could have really made an impact in his development and maybe give you a better picture of who he could be next season. I think a larger chunk of minutes for somebody like Trendon Watford, who's now a free agent, a larger sample size in more competitive basketball would have been helpful. You know, you look at Lonnie Walker, you look at, you know, I think DSJ, we got a big enough sample size, but even Lonnie, his minutes have been all over the place, especially since Kevin Ali's taken over. Now it's like, you really don't have this great picture for these guys. The roles aren't consistent. The overall flow of the team is not in a great spot. So right now, it's not that they're playing garbage basketball, but the basketball doesn't carry as much value because they're not playing for anything. So I think missed opportunities this year with the team goals was lost. Even if your goal was to be competitive, playing playoffs, blah, blah, you still want to make an effort to develop these guys a little more, knowing that the playoffs were never going to lead to anything more than a first-round knockout. You know, this team never was going to make a deep run. It was always about building on for the future. And, you know, just making the play-in, making the playoffs, but having young pieces and guys you believe in that could be part of your team moving forward would be such a huge factor. You know, if they've ended the season and they had great development for, you know, Cam Thomas, who I think's developed nicely, especially over the second half of the year, you know, probably even more developed for Dayron. You would have liked to see Jalen Wilson probably play a little earlier in the year to get a better idea if he could be a true NBA rotation player, if he's more of a, you know, a 10th or 15 guy, and then Clowney as well. You know, you want to know how far along is Noah Clowney. Best thing to do is throw him out in NBA basketball. He's been pretty good in my opinion, but he definitely would have benefited from more reps, and he's going to get more reps as the season progresses to the end. But those type of things are just like time you're missing out on when the season's already not lost, but it doesn't carry as much value. You know, if you're sitting here right now and I know that somebody else on this team is going to be a rotation player for next year, or young players really showed even more promise, you'd be a little bit more excited. But right now, you know, it's a lot of just Cam Thomas has popped, but you don't necessarily have confidence in the organization leaning into him, running with him, and you don't know really what's going to happen with him. And I think that's one of the huge question marks for the Nets. How much do they believe in Cam Thomas? You know, how much do they want to bank on him this summer? Are they going to, you know, move him in the first star trade that becomes available? Or are they going to hold tight and maybe look to move more picks and other guys in this team and keep Cam and, you know, build around him and the next potential star they bring in Mikal Bridges? Maybe that's the trio they look at. I'm not sure how good that could be depending on who the third star would be, but is that a route they go, or do they go full rebuild and say, hey, Cam, we're going to let you really develop over the next couple of years and see what you can be, and then we'll go from there. And you'll have free reign to just fully develop your game as a scorer, playmaker, and just do those other things. Or, you know, do they just keep him around and they believe he's just going to be a sixth man for the team moving forward? Or what does Cam think of the situation? Obviously, he's not at a point where he can demand a trade, but when his contract comes up, you know, is he a guy that looks at signing the qualifying offer instead of extending, you know, long-term with the Nets? There's just a lot that goes into their value of Cam Thomas for, you know, where he fits on this team, or if they're just going to kind of use him as a trade chip. Another huge decision that we're going to hear about this summer, and it's kind of been all over the place, is Nick Claxton's free agency. You know, unrestricted free agent. A lot of signs have pointed to the Nets really wanting to bring him back, but there's been a lot of talk about his price, you know, being 20 to 25 million, and Clax hasn't been consistent enough, and he hasn't really gelled with this group per se to get the best basketball out of him. You know, some of that being coaching, some of that being the talent on the floor, the lack of spacing, you know, preventing him from some of those role opportunities, those slip opportunities. So how much does he want to stay in Brooklyn? You know, his frustration just seemed to be pretty high at different points of the year. You know, the Nets are going to have to overpay to keep him. Is that the best move to make for the team? And also, you know, another option to consider is, or they just look to retain him to move the contract in the future. You know, if you think he has enough value, then hey, you should be okay re-signing him and then moving him at the deadline or a future deal or moving him in, you know, some way for a trade. We have Lonnie Walker too, you know, unrestricted free agent. Who knows what he wants? He's mentioned in the past wanting to really find his next NBA home. So if the Nets wanted to retain him long term, there could be potential for that. But his role has been super inconsistent for this team. So how much does he want to come back? And I think you could look at Trenton Watford for the same thing. It's like, if Watford had a consistent role all year, or he plays a lot towards the end of the year, do the Nets buy into him and think he can be, you know, a core role player for them moving forward? Maybe not a starter, but a bench piece, or maybe they think they can develop his defense and other aspects of his game and really turn him into a complete player. Then maybe they look for that long-term deal. Maybe they give him some of their mid-level exception to, you know, entice him to stay. I'm not really sure what type of money these guys are going to get. They're probably going to be on some level of prove-it deals because they were inconsistent, their role were inconsistent, and teams are unsure of what they are right now. And in terms of Dennis Smith Jr., you know, I thought he played hard, he was solid, but he's pretty much a veteran minimum guy at the NBA level because of how bad he is offensively. Brings a ton of energy, plays great defense, but just doesn't do enough on the offensive end. So pretty unlikely he's back with the Nets. But the other guys, you know, that's all pretty big decisions in terms of what they're going to do with those guys moving forward. And then, you know, Ben Simmons will be an expiring contract, carries no value in terms as a player in the NBA. But that contract expiring could become useful if they do look to make a star trade. And, you know, obviously somewhat enticing for the other team because, hey, you know, it's going to come off your books in a year and Ben's could just be sent home or bought out at this point. So just a lot on the plate of Brooklyn. As I mentioned earlier, though, it really all starts kind of with the GM and what they do in that situation. I know I didn't touch on all of the free agents and all the different avenues. This is just kind of just a quick overview, and we'll get a little deeper as we get closer to that point. But just to almost prepare you for what to expect this year. And I think as the season rolls on, you know, as you know, we have a week or 2 weeks left of the season, you know, hopefully by the end of April, you know, mid-May or early May, we have a decision on what's happening with the GM, what's happening with the coach, you know. And obviously the GM decision is probably going to happen first. You know, if you see a coach hired, that guarantees Sean Marks is going to stay. But if you don't see it, it's lingering around, and all of a sudden there's some rumblings about Marks, he might be gone, and we might be on to a new chapter of Nets basketball. But as always, appreciate everybody listening. Check the buzz on all streaming platforms.